Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This can resonate with us who have experienced loss. God, where were you? You who are all good, where is the good in this? But life's always more complicated and complex than we realize. And there is always so much more that we don't know. For example, you might be at a party and someone performs a backflip. Your friend looks at you and says, "I can do that, hold my beer." Or we look at someone's job and think, "That's easy, I can do that." And if we're rash enough to try those things without the right experience, things generally go badly. Loss then has that mysterious quality of being something that's more complicated and complex than what we initially perceive. And that's why we can't get over it. We get through it. And get through it lost. Jesus is all about bringing life, giving sight to the blind, restoring the cripple's ability to walk, making water into wine, dying for eternal life. Jesus wants to give you and I life. As said in Ezekiel 37, "I will put my spirit in you that you may live." So that means there are things within us that are dead. Well, what might that be? Maybe we're going through the motions of living and lost the desire to innovate and attack sin in our lives. Sure, we confess it, but truth be told, is there any change? Is there a desire to do better? Our spiritual senses can dull, and then we become like whitewashed tombs. Our spiritual life looks like it's beaming, but on the inside, our prayer life is without heart. Our charity to others have limits. Some find themselves resorting to a form of escapism. When we plunge into the virtual world, right? You hear these, or read these articles of individuals who are investing loads and loads of money in virtual real estate. People who are making their lives there, their identities there. Individuals who find themselves binge-watching shows, or perhaps seeking comfort in self-medicating, rather than deal with the God whom they cannot hear. After all, how can one hear God with crippling debt, lack of a decent job, a marriage on the rocks, diagnosis of terminal cancer? Some choose to struggle in the darkness alone, creating for themselves self-isolating environments, feeling like no one understands you, feeling that whatever you receive as criticism is truth, giving yourself a lot of negative self-talk. And yet others still have grown numb to sin, apathetic to the church, to the faith, to God. What does it really matter? Look at this world. God doesn't care. Why should I? For this and much more, Jesus came. It sounds like an answer a child would give in all his innocence, and we want to turn a cold shoulder to such a simple response. But undoubtedly, this is why he came. To let the oppressed go free, and to give you and I a new heart and a new spirit. For us, there can be so much hurt, so many things have happened, and we don't know where to begin. Here's when we can make it simple. We have to make time to be before the divine physician. We have to make time to be before Jesus. And sometimes we think that the answer is elsewhere. Or sometimes we think that after this short prayer that I offer to God that should do it, and since that's not doing it, I'm going to go elsewhere to find that solution, to find that answer, and then all of a sudden, he who loves us with great passion is ignored. He who has the solution, that which will fulfill our heart's longing, is spurned. And so when we come before Jesus, we simply allow him into that mess of ours. And sometimes we don't have the right words. Sometimes we're fumbling as to what it is that we want to say or how it is that we are to begin, and we don't know how to sort it out, but Jesus knows. And we need to just come before him in our vulnerability and ask for his love. Again and again. As much as it takes. In the silence of waiting, what's happening is that there are things that are being built up within us. Trust, faith, perseverance, resolve. This identity of who we are as a child of God is being ever made so apparent to the forces of the enemy that as we remain steadfast to him, indeed, the promises in which he has for us will come to fulfillment. So this kind of waiting, even though we don't feel or experience any change, there's something that is being built within us. And God is using this as an opportunity for the unique purpose of what the Father has in store for you to exhibit his glory. He still wants the miraculous to break through you. And I get it. You know, some of us are thinking, I'm all patient out. I've been there, I've waited, I've come back, I've waited, and I'm just coming up dry, parched. I'm just exhausted. And that's natural. But because God knows our very being, he is moving us to the supernatural. And that's why it's difficult. That's why there are growing pains. At times, it can be more than we can bear. We want to cry out like Martha, Lord, if only you had been there. Lord, if only you were here. Lord, where are you? But we can never forget the riches of the beauty that comes with our Catholic theology of suffering, and that is, the suffering isn't for naught. It won't be wasted if we place our hope and trust in Jesus. And this is how, again, another element here to consider, you know, not only it's a building up of trust, faith, perseverance, it's also the building up of our relationship with him. To realize that in order for a relationship to be, there must be trust. And how can be there a building of trust if there aren't opportunities to have that? And when that happens, is that usually it's through a great deal of difficulty. Why? Well, even in the relationships that we have with one another, you know, some of it is not such a big deal. Other things are rather big. Other things are monumental. And so when it comes to our relationship with God, then they are huge. Big leaps of faith are required. And with that, we're called to persevere. With that, we're called to trust. And how are we going to trust if we don't have those trials? How are we going to trust if we don't have those encounters? How are we going to be able to build our relationship with God if that is not tested? We can say all we want, how beautiful, how great our relationship is with God, but if it's not tested, but how do we know that that's real? How do we know that I have that relationship? You know, we can all build it up in a wonderful fantasy. Because I've been blessed. I've received all the good things. I have no complaints. But we know when it comes to difficulty and there's trust in God, then it demonstrates indeed that, Lord, I'm in it for the long haul. Lord, I'm in it for you. Lord, I know you are there even when every fiber of our being says, I don't think so. God knows what he's doing, even when we don't think he is. So our desire to hide from life or numb our lives isn't the answer. Figuring things on our own is not always the smart play. You and I have to spend more time before our crucified Lord and realize he is the answer out of our mess, our sorrow, our pain. And thus with surrender, say with all the saints, Jesus, I trust in you.